Hey guys,
welcome back to our podcast episode.
It's Henny Hands
and Yazzy Yaz,
and you're back at it again with another podcast.
Let's dive right in. I'm just going to be talking about what's to come, so guys, get your snacks ready, get your drink.
Yo, we drinking right now.
I'm drinking some water and carrot chai.
I'm drinking you.
Oh, I love that. It's a bit of me.
I'm drinking chai as well. It's the season for chai.
Tis the season to be jolly.
Yeah, and if you haven't made the transition from iced coffee to hot coffee, then what are you doing?
I'm going to shamelessly come at my good sis, Maya Maya from the six. She drinks ice cap all year round. And I honestly tell her, sis, do better. But you know what? I love you, so you keep doing you, babe. Love that. Shameless promo. Okay, so what's to come, guys? So the first part, me and Honey are just going to have a catch-up. You know, this episode, because we did miss October's episode, we do apologize, guys. Your sis came with the flu. But she came down with the flu, actually.
Yeah. How are you recovering now?
Alhamdulillah, I'm better. I'm not contagious.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I completely forgot.
It was scary, guys.
Limp on my
That's
mask.
More to come. That's more to come. Social distancing. Don't touch me. Guys, I'll talk about that soon. But what's to come? So me and Hannah are just going to have a mini catch-up session with what we've been up to, what we've been doing, our obsessions. We're going to put you on as well. The second part, we're going to talk about all things Cambridge. You know, me and Hannah, alhamdulillah, we went to Cambridge on the 16th of October. That was a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah, so it's been nearly a month
A month, actually. Yeah, about 3 weeks now. So that's to come. And the final one is going to be an exercise, guys. It's going to be fun. I say get up, shake it, something around.
Touch your toes.
Touch your toes. Simon says, no, I'm joking. Me and Hannah, we're going to have an exercise where we talk about under our dictatorship. And this is a hypothetical scenario, a hypothetical world, actually, where me and Hannah become dictatorships.
Yeah, I mean, mine's a reality. I don't know about you. Mine. Like, being the eldest of, I don't like, so much kids, whatever I say goes. And if you disobey, like, you're sitting on the stairs, time out.
Yeah. Mine's a dystopia. So it's a imperfect, it's a crazy, it's a chaos society, it's an anarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit extreme, but I think it's interesting. So guys, yeah, so grab your snacks, grab your tea, grab your coffee, your water, and yeah. So our first segment, I'm going to be asking Honey what she's been up to. What have you been up to, sis?
Sis, I've just been stressed. Like, I started my big girl job, and now I just want to quit because, like, the whole summer I spent, like, just, like, having fun, doing nothing, doing niche while you was on your bum. I was out making moves. And now that I'm actually out making moves, I want to be on my bum. Like, I actually want to be a bum and be jobless and just sit and watch TV. But this is good for me. But going out, yeah, every day, it's not. It's what about different. You?
Do you feel like it's the season change, or is it just because, like, you're an adult now?
Yeah, maybe it's a bit of both. Like, seasonal depression is a real thing. But at the same time, it's like, you know, when you're new to the job and, like, everything's uncertain, that's what it is. Like, inshallah, I have time to, like, settle in. But yeah, we'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell, inshallah. Why is it that, do you often find that when you start a new job, it's because you're new, you're fresh meat, you feel like you need to suss people out? Like, do you feel like you're on your best behavior? In the sense that, like, they don't really know you and you don't know them.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. But at the same time, it's like, you're also, like, one of the youngest people there. And then I don't want people looking at me like I'm an infant. Like, do you get what I mean? Your girl got her big, big degree. Yeah, I'm dressed like a big girl. Now, you remember before I would be rocking up with beads, with color pink, with clips in my hair. No, now I have to, you know, be suited and booted, wear white shirts and blaze. It's hard.
You're grown now.
It's hard being somebody that you're not, but I'm forcing myself to be this person.
Do you like that side of dressing up, or do you just feel like because you're working, you have to do that?
It's a bit of both. Like, I could see the appeal of, like, wanting to look smart and clean, but in hindsight, at heart, I'm not that person.
Okay, that's very interesting. It's very interesting. So what have I been up to? Your sister's been recovering from the flu. Honestly, guys, I think I honestly thought I would die. But it wasn't COVID, by the way. Not me anxiously looking at Hannah. No, I got tested, so it came back negative. Alhamdulillah. Guys, I didn't get my flu jab, so it just made everything worse. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I know it's flu season, but I actually caught it for my good sis.
Oh,
shamelessly. And you know what? Because it was her birthday, I'm gonna let it slide. We went away for the weekend, and she was sick. And because that we invested money and time into it, she could not cancel. It's like, sis, we're grabbing you by the hair. It's your surprise. We're holding you hostage for the weekend. Alhamdulillah, we went Ken. It was very beautiful. But I was fine until the day that we were coming back. And then that's when I noticed I had little symptoms. Mm-hmm. And
how bad was it? Scale of 1 to 10.
0 to 100 real quick. And the second day, my body was in agony. Like, I was in pain. And I don't think I've ever been in pain like that. I was a bit scared. So the first few days were scary. But after that, it just felt like a regular common cold. Alhamdulillah, I've recovered. I'm doing well. But it's just so crazy how, like you just get sick. You get sick and it's like I didn't think I would die. But, like, you get sick and you have to nurse yourself back to health. And it just goes to show you how vulnerable and weak and, you know, fragile, like, the human body is. And you have to constantly take care of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was doing a lot of self-care. I was laying in bed. Like, I felt like I was bedridden. And sometimes you need that. Because
bedbound.
Bedbound, yeah. Bedridden, I think is what you're Ya Rabbi, Bilali. But no, I was reading my books. I finished watching You. I was watching Home Cha-Cha. I was watching all my movies. It was really good.
Girl, do you know the guy from Home Cha-Cha? He's messed with Scandal right now.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
There's so many things. The one that cheated on his girlfriend.
Yeah, not even cheated, but he forced her to have an adoption. Not adoption, sorry, an abortion. And then everybody was like detesting these rumors, saying no, he wouldn't, that he's not that type of person. Mm-hmm. And then he made an apology saying he did. So,
is that his girlfriend or the girl on the show?
No, his girlfriend. In real life, this is not his character. Damn. And then now everybody's like dropping him from like brands, mm-hmm. from deals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mess because, you know, like, you've watched Hometown Cha-Cha, like, his mm-hmm. character is, like, so noble, mm-hmm. so gentle. Righteous and gentle, and then people are mistaking that for his true character, which mm-hmm. is not the case. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, especially when it comes to K-dramas, you really need to separate the actor from the person he is in real life.
That's so crazy. I never knew that. Honestly, I need to do a bit more research because, guys, I'm a nosy nilly out here. I get very much emotionally invested in characters, but no, you're right, that's really messed up. But I was catching up on my shows, and I was just taking better care of myself, alhamdulillah. But now I'm recovering and I'm doing well. I think that's what I've been up to, honestly. October was an amazing month, as always. It's my birthday. OVO.
October.
October's just very own. Honestly, big shout out to Drake, even though I don't like you. No, I reckon, your good sister.
What's it called? BBL Drake. I'm surprised, like, nobody has, like, made, like, not even that, like, went as him for Halloween.
Sis, you know, he's played, like, old Drake. Like, what type of Drake would you play?
Me? I would be, what's it, One Dance era.
You know what Drake I'd be? And I'm shading him. It's the time where he spray painted his abs.
That was real.
Yeah, he got a BBL, he got a Tommy Tuck, he done something because he got exposed. I think this is like 2019 or something, early 2019.
If I come as Drake, be Nicki Minaj, like in the 2011 era.
Ooh.
You remember, what's it called? Like Bedrock.
Bedrock era. Yeah. What was that? Was it Harajuku?
That was her Harajuku phase, yeah.
Honestly, that's so classic. I feel like I would.
Yeah. And then we'll get someone else to be Lil Wayne. Exactly, Lil Wayne.
Because we're the big three.
And then somebody will be Safari.
Not domestic abuse violence. He's cancelled first and foremost. But yeah, that's what I've been up to, alhamdulillah. It was my birthday. I feel like October is such an amazing month because not only is it my birthday, my mom's birthday, my brother's birthday,
my best
friend's birthday, your brother's birthday. Even though, I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry, sir.
Guys, I'm not even born in October. I just felt left out.
You claim it.
I literally felt left out.
But October is such an amazing month. And even though I don't really take part in Halloween, I really want to go Friday night. And I love to go. I wanted to go trick or treating, but okay. Do you know what I mean?
I got sick. Guys, what's it? My area does Halloween like really big. So obviously now I had to step my pussy up. Do you understand? So I did pumpkin carving with my sister, mm-hmm. and then like we put it out on the near the front door. Mm-hmm. Got my chocolates ready, and instead of decorations, I wanted to use candles. So like I had candles all around like the windowsill, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was ready to go. Mm-hmm. Tell me why no kid came, and I had to literally ask them, like, guys, come, so I can give them the sweet. Every time I heard, like, kids, like laughing or whatever, I opened the door. I was like, do you want some sweets? And they'd come. And this one kid ran to me, and little does he know, like, he didn't even know. So basically, like, the entrance to my house, there's, like, steps. But because it was covered in leaves, he couldn't see that. So he dropped. And his dad was like, get up, like something like that. I was like, if that was my kid and he fell, I would cry. I would be in panic. Mm. But he didn't even help him. Mm. I was like, wow, so this is the type of parenting that you're on.
You're on.
You don't even care. Anyways, yeah, I felt like like a mom, like a new stage has been unlocked.
You're a mom now.
I'm a mom.
You've unlocked the motherly.
Yeah, I also got into like the mood, did my face paint and everything. Chef's kiss. Halloween's vibe.
Halloween's so cute, honestly. I feel like, I used to go trick or treat until I was about like 13.
Oh, that's fine.
Since you got to collect them sweets, that's fine. Free food.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like, you know, trick or treat is cute. Like I don't celebrate like the devil side of it, but I feel like it's so cute.
Tell me why Alba came home that same night and he was like, I don't even know. Oh, let me remember what he was saying to me. He was just looking at me different. He was like, what are you smoking? I'm like, Alba, it's Halloween. Obviously I had my face painted. He's like, he was just shocked. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know what it is about like African parents and anything witchcraft.
Yeah. They think you're a devil worshiper, basically. Yeah, it's crazy. But October's just amazing, honestly. I'm kind of sad that it's over, but I'm excited for November because that means it's December and it means Christmas and New Year's. So yeah, alhamdulillah, that's what I've been up to. So we're going to talk about our recommendation, like what we've been watching. First and foremost, everyone finish off you because you was giving me... I'm Team Joe, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know. Same.
You
finished it, right?
You know what it is? Yeah. It's like the show is made in a way we feel sympathy for Joe.
We do, especially because like I think the first season he was such a creep, but after that, like you learn about like his abuse. Like first and foremost, his mom's a snake. He obviously like got abused as a child. He stood up for himself. He went to foster care. He got beaten up by the kids, and then the guy who took him in—I don't know that man, the old man, the bookman. He was abusing him too, like, and he was the one that introduced him to that little, what's that thing, that box.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know, you're rooting for him. And also, because he's so good looking, like, you're just attracted to that. It's giving me Ted Bundy, but yeah. Other than that, like, I was rooting for him. And Love, she's crazy, like, and honestly, I'm not a feminist. I stand up for women, their rights. I'm a champion, but she's batshit crazy. She kills and is very much irrational. And I don't like the fact that she kills and makes it seem like all women are like that. So Love, you got what you deserved, and you got two big free boots, bro, out here getting little small CO2 blow your back. Meanwhile, you have a husband. Shameless. But then, you know, Theo's older than her, and I think there's rumors that they're dating. And yeah, honestly, their chemistry, I honestly feel like,
wait, Theo,
I love seeing that
in real life.
He's older than her by like a year or two. Okay. And also, there's rumors circulating, and I think they might be dating.
Mm.
So yeah, their chemistry was amazing. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, even though she cheated on her husband with this guy, I was like, yeah, I see that.
Yeah. This is a very controversial opinion, but what's his name? Joe from You is basically the aftermath of what's his name from Gossip Girl? Dan from Gossip Girl. So he's like the final form, like the final stage. Mm-hmm. And then you know how like in You, like he admitted that he has mother issues, and he's all like his purpose in life, or like the thing that he wants to do the most, is help like women in distress. And that's exactly what he was doing with Serena. Like anytime, or even like with any broken girl, like anytime they would be broken, like in the sense that their life isn't complete, it's like it's lacking a lot of things, they're damaged, you know, they're emotionally unstable, like he's drawn to that. He feeds off of that.
You know, that's so interesting. He said, not even for Serena, but remember when he was blatant Blair?
Yeah.
And I think
don't spoil it, you brat. I'm not there yet.
Have you not even finished it? Sis, it's been out for 20 years, Deepa. At this point, it's not spoiling. It's just a price. continue watching because he takes on, like, the knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
But so he's also like a bit that, weird because, he's stalkerish. He's also, like, very, like, he's the nice guy. Exactly. He's very entitled.
Yes. Also, like, in Gossip Girl, he obviously releases a book called Inside, where he talks about it from his perspective of being an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, an outsider coming into the elite New York City life.
Mm-hmm.
And then in with You, he's obviously poor. He's, something from Brooklyn. And then, like, he meets Love, whose family's, like, old money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at the same time, like, he doesn't like it, but he doesn't like how her wealth is, like, always around her. But at the same time, it creates stability for him, especially when he's trying to bring up a son.
Especially, I noticed that there was a big class divide when they moved to the suburbs, and he hates it so much. And even though she dislikes it because of the people, not necessarily the lifestyle, because, as you said, she comes from old money, or, like, she's very, like, her family's very affluent. Everything's been given to her on a silver spoon. Whereas for him, he just, like... He didn't like the lifestyle, and he didn't like the people. Exactly. She just thought the people were, like, very self-obsessed.
Oh, my God. I think I know what the next season might be. him overcoming his mommy issues, so we might see his mum. Because, like, you remember that flashback where he kills his dad to save his mum? His mum is still alive.
And she has a son. So he has a baby brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Remember when he bumps into his mum? Randomly. When? I think he goes by his old house and his mum's moving. And then she puts a boy in a car.
See? Was this in the latest season? Yeah,
it's a flashback. It's a bit of a flashback. So try and double check.
Right.
But he's like, why did you leave me? And she was just like, and she basically just said, like, a lot of traumatic things happened to me. And then I just, like, started my life again.
Yeah.
But I love the ending scene where, spoiler alert, he's in Paris.
Yeah.
And Paris? Just the view, like, I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an old, you know what? It's Gossip Girl, but in an old. Alter universe, like another, because remember when Chuck goes into Paris, like I just love that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so honestly guys, if you haven't watched it, you watch it, but that's been my obsession. Home Cha-Cha, I still haven't finished it and I'm obsessed. And also what I've been reading, I don't have the book on me, but it's called Brexit Land. I'm gonna write a mini like info in the description. So it's basically just talking about Brexit, and this book was published, I got it on our Cambridge trip. It was published in 2020, and it's just look back in the 2016 referendum and like how the UK is divided. And like before the whole like referendum, there was no such thing as Brexit. And the fact that now Brexit is like a key terminology right now, just to describe how we've left the EU and how, you know, Britain chose themselves first, so Britain first, and like our own sovereignty over like international institutions as a whole. But like I'm just delving into that, and they talk about immigration, they talk about like classism, they talk about racism. I'm gonna just do like a mini, I don't know, either for our blog post or in the end, but that's been my obsession, alhamdulillah. But yeah, that's just been me. What about you? Anything that you want to recommend?
There's this really good show on Netflix called Made, where, you know, it's about a young mother who's trying to provide a good life for her kid. And she left a domestic, basically a domestic abuse relationship. And yeah, like we just see her go through so much trials and tribulations. I was watching one episode last night, and it was basically her looking for preschools for her girl. And she found this like really good one that supports their kids and like encourages them to, you know, think out the box creatively. And then she was like, I can't afford this. And then the woman's like, okay, we'll pay half of your tuition, only if you're a resident in this area. And she's like, I'm not, but I'll work something out. And then she's out scouring apartment studios and whatever. And then she finds this really nice one, and then explains to the woman, like, can you basically be my landlord and like pay for this thing? And then she's like, okay, fine. And then she feels like everything is working out for her. Like she has a place to live in because she was homeless before. And her daughter's going to preschool and she has a full-time job now. And then the people that live in the house was like, oh my God, like it's your kid's birthday, like throw a party here. And she's like, okay, fine. And then her ex comes with his 20-year-old girlfriend and like brings alcohol and whatever, and then like ruins everything, and they end up like kicking her out of the studio. And obviously if she can't be in the studio, she can't go to the nursery. And then who would think that it would be the father of the kid that messes everything up?
Is that what episode you're on, by the way?
Yeah, that I think that's like episode 6.
So you've got a few more to go.
Yeah. Okay. Have you finished it?
I actually finished it whilst I was sick. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but like you know, like it's so sad because like you can learn from the situation, but also like I see her story in like a lot of women that I know. Mm-hmm. Like because you know when the show starts, like we see her with her kid and family, but like there's always flashbacks to when she was like when she first got accepted to her dream university, because she's a writer, like a creative writer. And like just to see her story, like she had her life together, she got into college, she was gonna move abroad, not abroad, but to another state. And like she was working a part-time job, like that was basically us, like I guess like just navigating university life. And then she just met a guy and like he kind of trapped her. Not that like I don't feel like her daughter, I know this is a character, but it's just like not that her daughter ever like was a mistake or a burden, but it's just the fact that like she had her life together and like a baby came into the mix and it's like I settle for this. And it's just like, oh, like you're just rooting for her throughout the whole thing. And she really goes through hardship.
Yeah.
And in conclusion, I hate men. No, I'm joking. But no, honestly, like she goes through, you know, the thing is, you're right, it's domestic abuse what happened. But in that state, emotional and financial abuse is not considered domestic abuse unless he didn't hit you personally. Yeah. you're not a victim. Whereas where she finds shelter, they class domestic abuse as financial, abuse, emotional, exactly. mental, spiritual, yeah. whatever, any sort of abuse.
Which shows, and they always talk, yeah. sorry to cut you off, sis, yeah, yeah. but they're always talking about like how broken the American system is, like in terms of supporting individuals. So whether that be you asking for benefits to support going towards housing, your kids' school, like anything, like you have to go through so much bureaucracy for people to actually understand. And even when you find something, there's like constant loopholes that you're having to like overcome where, you know, nothing is really black and white. It's like you're always constantly writing out forms and depending on other people's like good instincts so they can help you out.
See, and that's the thing that really pissed me off as well, because like even though he never abused her like physically, he, emotional abuse is like he would hit things, he would throw things, he would like, he wouldn't hit her, but he would hit around her.
Also neglect your parental responsibilities as well.
Like, and I just feel like it was messed up, like that part, but like I'm glad that the shelter took her in and she was just figuring her life out. And it just made me realize, like, honestly, I can't diagnose a man. I'm the type of person when I look at people's behavior and mentally in my note, like, I already written you off. Like, I've diagnosed you. And I know, and that's the thing about me. I mentally do that, but sometimes I say it aloud. So I need to be very careful. But I'm not trying to label him, but he's very much sick. He's controlling. He's abusive. He's weak. He's insecure. He's basically a loser, a bum. Like, he's got issues. I can't really, like, label his mental psych, whatever that is. But, like, as soon as she's doing better for herself, I feel like he's always trying to sabotage her. And, like, there's a reach a point, I don't want to spoil it for you, where, like, I feel like she lets him back in. Not like they don't get together, but it's just like, fuck, sis. Like, and one side I was torn because I'm thinking you're fucking weak because you said you'd never go back. And then I had to kind of be compassionate and like empathetic and say, you know what, like it takes women 7 times to be abused, to leave finally. So like I had to like kind of say, yeah, I was chill, but like, and I was like, oh, I would never do that. But subhanAllah, sometimes you don't know what you do. So I feel like I was rooting for her. I'm glad that she got her help, but it just made me realize how effed the American system is. You're right. Because even then, like, I remember she was on food bank and even then people looked at her differently. She was trying to get housing and, like, she couldn't get it because she had to do all of these X, Y, and Z. And it's just, like, she needs a home. She needs food. She doesn't have she doesn't, like, have childcare. So it's, like, that affects her bag. Like, she can't work now. But, yeah, you're just rooting for her. So I feel like everyone should watch it, especially if you've grown up around abuse or you've seen abuse happen firsthand or through other people. Or, like, you just want to learn about, like, how abuse can mess you up. So, I love that show, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. That amazing actress. And I know, like, the guy, I don't know his history, but I just feel like sometimes when a guy plays that character too well, I start thinking he's that. So I need to, like, separate the art from the artist. But 100% Watchmates is such an... It opens your eyes up to, like, a different world, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think you guys should watch it. Yeah, guys. And that wraps up the first segment, guys. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to this second section, the second segment, and we'll be talking about all things Cambridge.
Yeah, guys, like, how did it even start? I remember, okay, what's your recollection? Like, how did you think, like, this whole us going to Cambridge, like, happened?
You know what, I think before we actually went, we were talking about it for a good year. Like, we always wanted to explore different parts of the UK.
Literally, I've been thinking about Cambridge since first year, so that's basically 2018. And then I had plans to go, like, for some reason, like, stuff kept happening. Like, sometimes I wouldn't be available, like, I'd be caught up in, like, family issues. And then, like, my friends would be doing something else. And we eventually never got to go. And I think, like, you know, one of the benefits of, like, graduating and, like, finding yourself is that you can finally make space for the stuff that you wanted to do. And then, alhamdulillah, like, Yaz was, like, free that time. Yeah, and we was like, you know what, why's not?
And I think it couldn't have, because I think we originally wanted to go either some point in the summer, and then we said September, and then just things kept on happening. I guess, you know, schedule, we're busy, we're adulting. Most people are supposed to come, but I guess it just didn't happen. And then, I think me and Honey, we just said we booked it.
But like, honestly, like, it was such a good experience. Like, I don't even know what to say, especially, like, go around the time where, you know, it's... I wouldn't say summer, but at the same time, we went August. So even then, like, there was a hint of, like, sun. But at the same time, it was kind of cold as well. But I feel like the vibes, like, the environment that you're in, the climate that you're in, plays a big part as to, like, how you enjoy it. But alhamdulillah, we had, like, a good time. It was giving me Hogwarts vibe. You know the, what's it, Diagon Alley?
Yeah.
It was giving me, like, those narrow corners, like, those... like narrow streets, and everything's like so compact and makes you feel like a giant. That's what I was thinking. But it was so friendly. Like, I was thinking, oh my god, white people, sorry guys, sorry if you're white, white people, snobs, do you get what I mean? So I was like, I was really taken aback at how friendly everybody was. Mm-hmm. Like, people were so welcoming.
Mm. You know, the thing about Cambridge is, like, it wasn't what I was expecting, because when we left the station, it was very modern, new building, high rise. And then the closer that we got to campus and town, like, it gave me old town vibes. It gave me Hogwarts. It gave me cobblestones.
Cobblestones.
It gave me old architecture, church.
Gothic. Victorian.
Like, it gave, really, yeah. And yeah. It was very beautiful. It was just very aesthetically pleasing. We took amazing
pictures. And also go on a Saturday, because that's when all the markets are open.
You're right, honestly. As you said, honey, the people were really friendly. We noticed that, like, the people who actually lived there, they were old. Mm-hmm. Let me be politically correct. They were elderly. But the people who went to school there were very ethnically diverse and young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think my, like, preconceived notion was, it's going to be, like, elitist, it's going to be old, it's going to be closed off, they're going to be, like, closeted racists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, you know, some parts of, I think it's London, was it Kingston upon
Thames?
Exactly. That area is very white. Like, my friend works there. She works in the JD there. It's so white there. And, like, she was talking about how one time she got hate crimes. And it was so bad, but that's what I was expecting. That's why, like, I had all these preconceived notions. And I was kind of scared, but at the same time excited, obviously. But it was not like that. Guys, I really think you guys should go, because especially if you're young, it kind of makes you feel like you're a student there.
Mm.
Well, everybody thinks you're a student there. So I just, like, played into the vibe.
Mm, the character. You know, funnily enough, we got approached, me and Hani, and they thought we were students.
Yeah,
we were
so cute. That girl.
Big shout out to her. I thought her name is Yasmin.
Yasmin,
bless her. Guys, a secret network. No, I'm joking. It was nice. You know, sometimes when you just meet people and, like, you probably never speak to them again, or if you do, who knows, but... Yeah, like, she was just telling us a bit about herself, her life, what she does, and we kind of talked about ourselves and what mm-hmm. we do. Mm-hmm. It was just really nice. It was very spontaneous. Yeah. We didn't really expect
And she was an American. Like, we were so taken aback by her accent. And then she was just saying that she was there for her PhD, and I was like, wow, because we thought she was an undergrad, because she looked really young.
Very, very mashallah.
And then she was just talking about, like, the cons of Cambridge, which, like, obviously in our mind, we're like thinking, oh my god, like, Cambridge, blah, blah, blah. But she was talking about the negative aspects, and, like, one of the points that she mentioned was that how they keep overworking the teaching assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are actually teaching students and not the lecturers.
Mm. So in order for them to, like, complete their course,
yeah,
it's basically like a free labor. In order for them to actually, like, wrap up their PhD, mm-hmm. they need contact hours. And in order for them to do that, they must teach classrooms. So it's like, you know, like, I'm in uni, so it's like my lecturer could be a PhD student. And when she finishes that, or when he finishes that, then they become like a lecturer or publisher or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just very interesting, because, like, they are the they make up, like, a large proportion of the faculty, and they put in the manpower and the work, they get the resources, they mark, you know, assignments, they basically tutor students. And it's just so shocking, because you'd never would have imagined that. You think your lecturers are, I don't know, like, they're getting paid for that. It's like, no, like, they're not. So I think that's really interesting, not gonna lie. But big shout out to Yasmin.
But other than that, there's, like, so much to do.
Mm.
Like, especially we went punting, remember?
Yeah.
We went punting. That was nice. The scenery was nice. But I think the thing that killed it for me was, like, seeing other people.
Mm.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, that was weird. Because sometimes the boats would clash into each other and you'd be stuck. And you're like, what the fuck?
That's awkward.
Yeah, and some of the people that would be punting don't know how to do it.
Mm.
So yeah, that was messy, but it was a good experience. If you guys want to go and you want, like, stuff to do, DM us and we'll give you an itinerary
of what we did. Honestly, I think Panton was very beautiful. I think if I did it during the summer, you know, like, going Cambridge at that time was perfect. It was October, it was autumn, the sun was out, so it was quite warm. Me and Honey, like, dressed for the weather appropriately, but I think because we did Panton a bit late, it was a bit cold, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were there for, like, a 45-minute ride.
Yeah.
Very beautiful scenic view. Mm-hmm. You're right. There was a lot of people, not only inside the boat, but inside the pundit, sorry. But also we kept on bumping into people, which I don't really like. But other than that, alhamdulillah, it was a very beautiful experience. I got my pictures. I got my views. So I would highly recommend doing that. Honey, do you want to talk about the food as well, the market?
Yeah, the food market, there was a lot of options. But at the same time, it wasn't the best. Like, let's be real. Like, Notting Hill has some of the best street food markets, like the ones in Shoreditch. And that's what I mean. It's like London. Like, it can't be matched. Like, London is top tier when it comes to food and multicultural food, in fact. Especially my favourite market is the one in Barbican. That has, like, near Farringdon area. That has the best street food ever. And it's like, it goes on for, like, rows and rows of, like, all the continental food around the world. Whereas, like, with Cambridge, it was, like, it had the, you know, typical Japanese, typical Greek, and English food, and
you had more options, I guess.
Yeah, it's good for shopping. I know that there was like some like hoodies and jackets and like small businesses selling jewelry and like, you know, custom designed things. So if you want to go shopping, I really recommend Cambridge, not necessarily for food.
That's interesting. I really like the paella that we got. It didn't match like the ones that I've had in like Spain, Barcelona, but like I really liked it. I was very shocked that
a lot the rice of the food was really nice. Yeah.
I never expected. I really thought like we'd have to get like a vegetarian option, but the fact that they're really accommodating and the food was halal, it was really good. Not the best, but alhamdulillah, like it was really good. Their merch, I really wanted to buy their hoodie, but I'm not gonna lie, I didn't want to get ripped off. And like even though it was cute, I was like, in theory, I don't want to grab it right now. But we went to the Cambridge Press bookstore as well. So
literally one of the best bookstores
ever that you've been.
Yeah, and but the thing is, it's like it will break your bank. Like I wanted to buy a language book and it was like £34.
What? It's expensive.
It's so expensive.
Yeah. I remember when I was there, they asked me if I had like a Cambridge ID card. Because I guess you get a discount. And I was like, oh damn. I think the book that I got was about, I don't know, £15 or something. So it didn't really break the bank, but like
I'm sure you could have gone to not WH Smith but Whetstones
to get that.
And
I'm not gonna lie to you, like it was actually very amazing. It was good. It was very beautiful. I looked at a lot of books because I wanted to buy more, but you're right, it was very expensive and I can't buy all of them. But it's just so interesting how like throughout my time in uni, like I'd always reference Cambridge Press and the fact that I was there like live in the flesh, like it was just like, oh wow, very beautiful. They have like a wide variety of books, so I feel like if you're a bookworm, you're obsessed.
Oh my god, the culture. Sorry sis to cut you off, but do you remember Wes? Guys, I'm not gonna get into the details, but we saw somebody who was a Wes, look, what's his name, Alfred Enoch.
Yeah,
oh my god, I had a dream about him like the other day. Right, maybe it's fate. Anyways, yeah, guys, we found his competition on the phone.
And Yaz was scouting. You know?
Yeah, we were scouting. We were just running all over the place. But yeah, he was so pretty.
He was so pretty, guys. Like, honestly, like, I feel like I could have met the love of my life in an alternate universe. I feel like I was more obsessed with the fact that he was a student. Guys, I'm so sorry, but I am very much a gold digger and I'm loud and proud. Like, I feel like I wanted the status. I wanted the fact that, like, imagine, like, the person you're interested in saying, I went to University of Cambridge. It's like, my baby went Cambridge! Like, he was cute, honestly. And he gave me, like, Wes vibes in the show. Because, like, the first scene of How to Get a Woman, he's riding his bike. And this guy was riding his bike. The way he dressed, like, gave me Alfred Enoch vibes. The way he looked, he gave me Somali version. Even though he was a Somali, East African version of Alfred Enoch. And me and Honey just dared each other. It's so cute. I still have the TikTok, so who knows if we'll post it. Because Honey was really bigging up your girl.
I was.
But in my mind, he was my husband. In my mind, he was husband. Yeah. And I had five kids with him. And they were all basically Cambridge students.
You know what it is? We'll come back eventually. And he'll know what's up.
Honestly, big shout out to you, Alfred. You know, lookalike. But we did a lot of things in Hamden. Like, I feel like Cambridge was like an amazing trip.
It was so good.
And it made me realize, like, I want to go on more trips like that. I want to explore Oxford. Yeah. I want to do Edinburgh. Even though I've done Kent, I want to go Canterbury.
Yeah.
On the list. But I just want to explore different parts of like the UK. Like, I know people out here like catching flights, going to Tokyo, going to freaking Bali, going to all of this. But it's like, imagine saying I've explored the UK. Like, I'm British.
Yeah.
I'm British. Yeah. Right? But yeah, I think the UK is very beautiful. So I think if you have time, just go. The tickets are really cheap. Like, I just feel like so you'll never ever have this time ever again in your life. So,
And it kind of like
go with anyone, just go yourself.
And when we went to Cambridge, it was like a whole new, not of course it's a whole new city, but it was like a whole new different architectural style. Like, you really felt like you was out of, you know, city. Yeah.
And it's different as well. So I see 100% go, you know, they're not crazy enough, like, if you couldn't come that day, we cancelled, I still would have gone, like, on the tip, not even because I booked the ticket, but it's like, it was always on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm that type of person, like, I'll, like, what do you call it, hand out invitations? But if they don't come, it's like, I'm still going, like, mm-hmm. it was, you know what I mean?
Like, I love that.
But, like, I'm glad that I went with you, it was really nice, I'm not gonna lie to you. So, guys, I 100% recommend Cambridge.
Yeah.
Welcome back to our third and final segment, and this is where me and Hani, we talk about under our dictatorship.
And what do you mean by that? Like, what do we mean when we say under our dictatorship? Like, in the perfect world, in my world, things will, you know, exist and mm-hmm. other things won't. So I'm gonna, like, read out my list mm-hmm. and, like, it might be controversial. Like, I might piss off people, but then again, like, when have I never done that before? Like, I've been pissing off people all my life, and I'm not stopping now. Do you get what I mean? So, yeah, let me just quickly pull up my notes. So the first one is the House of Lords won't exist.
I agree with you a lot.
Do you agree with me? Thank God. Because some people will be like, no, but, like, they're an expertise house. Like, what's it? I did parliamentary studies for one of my modules in my last year. Mm. And the way people will be, like, holding on to the House of Lords with their chest as if you elected them. Also, I'd like to add that in the House of Lords, it's customary that you have bishops, like, three different types of bishops. One's from Canterbury, actually. And then, like, okay, so you have these, like, what's it, holy men, whatever, in a political chamber. Mm-hmm. But this chamber is supposed to be representing the whole country, and then the whole country is multi-faith. Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't there an imam? Why isn't there a rabbi? Like, why have we only got one religion inside the house?
The house. And you know, like, about the House of Lords as well, like, people say it's, I forgot the terminology we learned in A-levels. Conviction? No, it's like a tradition. There's a specific terminology. That's the one.
So the people in the House of Lords mm-hmm. aren't elected, but they're hereditary peers.
Yeah.
So, like, say their dad was a House of Lords member. Like, say he held that seat and he died, you can have that seat.
Yeah.
Because you're related to him. Mm-hmm. Do you know how messed up? That's basically nepotism.
Nepotism.
We got nepotism as a chamber.
And, like, I remember, I think, I don't know, until the early 2010s, where there was a conflict of interest where people were House of Lords, but they were also in the Commons. And I know there was I need to go back and do my research on the actual law and who passed it. I think, I don't know if it was under the Brown government. Was it the Brown government? I'm not sure. But it was part of a government, a Labour government, actually. I'm pretty sure it could have been Brown or Tony Blair. I don't know. But they basically got rid of that now. So it's like, you have to pick a side. So, like, if you are an MP, but you also, like, have a lordship, a seat,
yeah,
you have to give up one, basically, because mm-hmm. it's unfair. Like, you're basically, mm-hmm. It's a conflict of interest, but you're also, like, yeah, able to influence both chambers, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just very interesting how they've tried and cut down on that. But have you been keeping up with current affairs? What's going on with the whole, the Boris's cabinet?
What's going on?
So there's a guy called, not a reshuffling. So, Boris is actually backing down from, like, a pledge where, you know, like, when...
The carbon.
No, yeah, not the carbon, but, like, you know, like, there's always been a scandal under every, like, prime minister where within their own cabinet there's a scandal, any mm-hmm. sort of scandal. Mm-hmm. And I know the recent one was about expenditure. Mm-hmm. That was, like, 2010-11. But then now it's about, like, fraud. So it's about lobbying, basically.
Oh.
And, like, a lot of these MPs right now... As you said, there's like a revolving door. So they're an MP, they're passing policies, they're recommending policies, but back channeling, they're out here selling secrets to all these lobby groups.
Yeah.
And also representing their interests within the seat of the table.
Guys, I'm really not surprised. I don't know. I think it was like on Nomad Radio when we was talking about it. Mm. What's his name? Sajid
Javid.
Him.
Yeah.
He works for JP Morgan. And this is a finance firm,
yeah,
like one of the top finance firms.
Yeah, he's a consultant. That was his
exactly.
role.
So why are you giving information away? But he's getting paid for it, and he's getting paid to be in the cabinet as well. So and this government is known for hiring and employing mm-hmm. their friends' firms. So, like, if you're friends with, because you know when you're elite, like you went to school with so and so, and then this person ends up becoming the CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah.
So of course you're gonna be like, oh, this is my buddy, instead of getting a another firm that is like reputable, is known for doing this. Let me just hire my friend because like I'm gonna be helping him out. And they're always doing that. Mm. Like for example, you remember when like the first lockdown happened and the government was giving away food, like you remember, like those tins, like beans, bread, whatever, to these to the families that were on, what's it, for the kids that were on free school meals.
Yeah.
So they was doing that, and instead of employing on like a reputable business, they got a business that was friends of somebody in the cabinet, but also this business was saving the government a lot of money and buying like lesser quality food to give to families with low income. And do you remember, like, somebody took a photograph of it and it was like one apple, a packet of pasta, one loaf of bread, and that was supposed to sustain them for a week.
What the hell is that? Subhanallah. You know, with the right now the scandal that's going on, it's to do with there's an MP who's in Boris's cabinet. His name is, I forgot his first name, but they refer to him as Mr. Patterson. So he was actually the former environmental secretary and also the secretary for Northern Ireland. So he had like big job, like a big role within the table, within the cabinet. But then he also got caught working like for like a lobbyist in
Greece.
And what made it worse is like Boris, he should have cracked down on this. And right now there's an argument within, because I was reading it a few days ago, so this morning there's a big debate within the House of Commons, where not only the Labour but the Tories are saying, like, make a statement, but also like fire this guy. Clearly he's incompetent and clearly there's a conflict of interest. Whereas right now what Boris is saying is, I'm going to introduce a right of appeal. So even though he gets fired, he can appeal this and get his job back. So right now he's basically backing his boys.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
There's something deeper happening. Like, you know, one of the reasons why like Boris lacks a backbone, it's not because like he's incompetent to hold like his peers accountable, but it's because he's doing something on the side that like allows these people to have leverage over Boris.
Yeah.
They're like, if you fire me, cool, I'm going to rat you out.
Yeah.
And that's what he's afraid of. That's why he's appealing all of this, because who's to say he's not doing the same thing? Who's to say like a close relative or somebody that he knows is doing this?
And right now what they're saying is like this whole, like Boris not standing up to his own, basically the Tory government, like his own people, it basically ushers in like a new wave of like how things will run, because previously this has always happened, but it's like right now you should take a stand, but you're not. And I remember people forgot about the whole, what was it, the spending? I remember we learned this in A-level.
I know you're talking about, it's the sleaze cut.
Yeah, that's the one. But
when MPs were pocketing money
and they weren't declaring it.
Yes. Like, yeah, and then they were putting this money into, what's it, assets, like houses, they
and
were
it's
buying
fraud.
Cars.
It's actually fraud. And right now where the critics are saying it's unfair, because if this was in the real world, they would get done up. Basically, they would go to prison for fraud.
Yeah. And that was in Gordon Brown's
era.
Yeah,
2010
that was his
era,
one. And the thing is, like, he stepped down because of one of those reasons.
Yeah.
But now I feel like this all started happening in 2016. Like, whenever Trump got elected, I feel like the standards in which we hold politicians has reduced so much.
Yeah.
Like, Boris, what's it, sexual harassment. Yeah. Boris, incompetence. Boris, what's it, indecency towards like homeless people and all of that stuff. And like, we all let it slide. Like, if we don't like put these people like and like actually judge them for their character and like what they've done, then we're gonna keep like allowing everything and like keep brushing it under the carpet.
Yeah. And also like all the critiques and also like the Labour MPs, they're saying there's one rule for the rest of us and there's one rule for the Tories.
100%, I see
and like
that.
What makes it worse is like, if this was in the outside world, I'd be done up for fraud right now. I'd be in prison. I would lose my job. Everything would happen to me.
Yeah.
Whereas because of that, they're basically saying you're letting off your own people. Not only are you saving them from getting out of jail, so get out of jail free card, you're also not firing them. But also if you do fire them, because of the change in policy and they're able to appeal, they're getting hired back. Whoa. So it's like nothing's ever been done for them. And I know for, what's his name? The health secretary.
Yeah.
Matt Hancock. He got a job for the UN, but I think he got fired.
Really?
I remember
the job for the UN.
He got a job for the UN, but then I don't know what happened, but he lost that job. So I'm so happy Karma really got him back, because I just think he should just leave. Like, and it's just the fact that now he can go wherever he pleases right now. Like, that scandal's not doing anything to his career.
Oh, Whatever, man.
But like this, that's just politics. That's what's been
pissing anyways, like, we've been on this topic for too long. Yeah. Okay, the next one is men aren't allowed to wear tracksuits. All right. What are your thoughts? Guys, like, come on, like, especially, I remember, like, talking to my brother. My brother is a year and a half younger than me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when I was 18, he must have been, like, 17, 16. And I was like, okay, Abdi, like, when are you going to fix up and, like, wear, like, proper, smart, tailored trousers? Not even that, or just, like, nice-fitting jeans, then, not the tight ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, when I'm 20, I'll start dressing. His birthday was in October. It's been nearly a month, and you're still in tracksuits. He's mm-hmm. 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, bro, fix up. Like, you know what it is? It's like, if you want to be rich or if you want to be successful or if you want to attract, like, whatever you want to do, like, whatever you want to aspire to be, dress up as that person and show up as that person.
As that person. You know, that's so interesting. I think I don't like the tracksuit look, but I'm going to play devil's advocate because do you feel like, are you saying that because you don't think the tracksuit is a clean look? On top of that as well, do you think that they'll be negatively stereotyped?
That is a very good point. I feel like...
Are you judging them right now? Because I'm backing you guys. Oh, honestly, I'll fight Henny right now.
Guys, hire her as your lawyer. Anyways, it's like... I get that it's like a comfort thing and it's like an everyday thing. Like, if you're running errands, if you're meeting with your guys, that's cool. But to, like, wear it as your uniform... to wear it as, like, a going out outfit. Like, in London, I don't know, for example, in other types of cities, but in London, whenever we want to go out, we dress to the nines. Mm. Like we make it known that we're going out. You wearing a tracksuit doesn't show that. And also, it's, like, tracksuits are, like, can go for £100 sometimes. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's a tracksuit. Mm. And the fact that boys have it in, like, multiple colours as if they're, like, making a fashion statement, you're not.
I honestly feel like where there's a time and place. If you're going to the gym, if you're exactly. buying milk, if you're chilling, like, I get that. But I think if you go out, I've never really been attracted to that. I just think it's, like, bummy-ish. But, like, it's a comfort clothes.
Exactly. I get that. And then, like, oh, bless their hearts. They always have, like, a handbag with them, like the Trapstar.
The Gucci one.
The Gucci one, the Trapstar, the Hood Rich one. And then, like... it's like the little handbag. Do you get what I mean? Like, I feel whenever my brother wears it, I'm like, oh, can you put my phone in your handbag? He hates that.
I feel like I personally don't like the look. I feel like maybe I don't like it because, first and foremost, maybe because it's like, I want you to match me and I don't ever wear that, so you can't wear that. But at the same time, it's just not a clean look. I guess it's negatively
every day. Like, come on, because when my brother has, like, a job interview or is, like, going to, like, a formal event, he's always scrambling to find, like, a white shirt. But these are basic pieces that you should always have in your wardrobe. Like, come on. Okay, the next one is ban all fruit juice. I know the hijabi girls that be drinking mojitos are screaming right now, but guys, don't.
No, and when it comes to a drink, one thing about me,
I'm a habit.
I'm a habit. You know, every time my friends see that, they send it to me because everywhere we go, I get a dangri, a strawberry dangri. I get a mocktail. Guys, I'm that girl. I'm drunk off of mocktail. I feel like a mocktail.
What hold does it have on you,
babes? It's just bougie. It's giving me flavor. It's giving me drink, but respectfully halal on the God's eyes.
The shackles that it has on
it's expensive. I'm not gonna lie to you, like, the bill will come up to, like, my food will come up to maybe 30-35.
And you know what it is, that's what I was about to say. Like, I'm not trying to crush anybody's dreams, but it's literally water with fruit syrup.
And it's like
right £6 when you can have, like, another starter and, like, or even, like, dessert.
Guys, when me and honey are done with someone to fight her, because right now, guys, I don't wanna
if you don't hear from me, send help. Okay, so you're for it.
Yeah.
I'm banning it. Okay, calm. That's our first disagreement.
Love that.
Okay, the other one is men will wear traditional ethnic clothes in professional settings instead of suits. Like, okay, not even men. Like, sorry, everybody. Like, so instead of professional settings, let's start showing up in our ethnic clothes. Because, like, whenever we think of formal wear, we think of a gown and we think of a suit, like a black and white suit. When in our own cultures, we have formal wear. Like, if you want to go to an event, you wear a dera. If you want to go to, like a traditional event, you have your own cultural clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we need to decolonize, you know, what formal wear means. Does that make sense?
You know, it's so interesting that you said that, because I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say I disagree
with
you right now.
Let me further my case, because whenever, like, we wear something that is like it's culturally relevant to us, is always met with like some sort of hostility, where people are like, oh my, that like, this is a professional environment. Like, you shouldn't be wearing dress up clothes, like, or you shouldn't be wearing bright clothes, or you shouldn't be wearing something that isn't, that doesn't meet our dress guidelines. But what you have on, it's basically a part of you. It's part of your culture. It's part of your tradition. It's something that like, you'd wear in weddings, somebody's birthday, somebody's like, I don't know, like, you can wear this to the mosque. Like, do you understand? Like, the way I feel like abayas have become a bit more normalized. Like, now I'm seeing my sister and her friends go to sixth form with their abayas. Like, I'm seeing them, like, go to abayas in, like, what's it, networking events. Like, back then, well, when I was growing up, I couldn't do that. But now it's become more socially acceptable. And if we keep pushing that narrative and those ideas, then, like, who's to say, like, my brothers can't be wearing a ma'awis? Like, do you get what I mean?
And he said,
and like the Kofids and the Kofids. So yeah, and you know, I'm only speaking about it from like a Somali culture. So many other like Turkish cultures, Greek cultures, like other Arabic cultures, they all have their own cultural clothes. This is just like my interpretation. So, and there's so many other like cultural clothes out there. So why don't like you guys come to these events wearing your culture clothes?
Wearing your culture clothes. I'm going to disagree with Hani because I feel like I'm going to say there's a time and a place. But that being said, I think you come in a cultural attire, you look too good. I feel like I'm going to be honest with you. If there's like a networking event and I come in my dirah, first and foremost, I mentally look better than everyone else.
Well, like, exactly. You don't, that's the point.
You don't compare. But that being said, I think, well, I don't know. I feel like for like the East African culture, maybe that, just African culture in general, we wear a lot of colors. And I'm not gonna lie to you, when it comes to a networking event, as much as you want to stand out, I don't want to wear dalal, I don't want to wear like see-through, I don't want to wear big colors, I don't want to wear like sparkles. I just don't want to stand out. That's personally for me.
It could be like ceremonies too, but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
All right, the next one is Wendy Williams will cover the BBC and National News Network, because I feel like the media at the moment is very rigged and like somewhat biased. And you know what it is? It's like I'm realizing that they'll talk about it, they'll talk about a certain issue, like let's say the lobbying scandal that you was talking about, and they won't like scrutinize it, or like they won't like offer opposing, like, do you understand? I feel like the media has lost relevancy, and we should hire Wendy Williams to stop that.
You know what? I love Wendy Williams, but I miss the old Wendy Williams. This new Wendy Williams after her divorce, like, as much as like I'm a hair for women, like advocating for themselves, living their best life, I just feel like she's not the same. Like, she's always trying to be politically correct. Like, I miss the dirty, sloppy, disrespectful, disgusting Wendy. The one that would read you for filth and the next day be like, hi. Like, I miss that type of messy Wendy Williams. But I don't know, like, I just feel like right now I don't watch her shows anymore, because she had me
Hot Topics
on throat. Like, she really had me. Like, I was, every day I was out here supporting YouTube. Since I had my cover ready, I would get my computer ready, bam, I would watch it. Like, it was like a ritual. But I think I agree with you on having like unbiased and unfiltered people. And I normally realize I listen to them on the podcast and also on YouTube.
Yeah, we need to like get, you know how like in like our aunties or whatever's generations, like their thing was that, oh, like young people nowadays aren't reading the newspaper. Well, us is like the young people aren't watching the news, like on television. And I feel like in the next generation, it could be something even worse. So in order to, you know, mitigate that, I feel like we should have like a culturally relevant person or somebody that basically built a career off of, you know, talking and like, mediating conflict or even starting one. But shout out to everybody with social anxiety. Do you know where that's from?
No.
That's from Wendy Williams. You remember when she was talking about Summer Walker, and then she was standing like that?
Oh yeah.
Shout out to everybody.
I think back then I stopped watching her then. She was very messy.
Since that's such an iconic.
It couldn't really come for her, but she chose to be nice. That was Wendy when she's nice, because I missed all of the Wendy.
Yeah.
And messy. But for my, like, under my dictatorship, one thing that's staying is wired headphones, guys. And I've got a story time, because I've always been a wired headphone babe. I used to dabble in Beats. That shit was trash because it used to hurt my ears. And I was really riding it until the wheels came off. Because
literally,
the padding came off. Why are you laughing?
Oh,
why are you laughing?
Me? Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Because you need to get in the studio right now.
If you hire me, I'm gonna make sure you're working.
Oh, me?
No, honestly, I feel like I was riding the beat until it came off. The padding came off. Guys, the side broke and I was really out here sellotaping it to their life. But beat is trash. I even got myself AirPods that survived for a few months and I got robbed. Whoever robbed it, I hope you get an ear infection. I hope your life is a misery. I hope you don't win in life because you're a bum. Like, why are you teething it? And what made it worse is like, the audio was shit. Like, I knew it was shit. Even though I bought it, I was like, why did I even buy into it? But it's just the fact that someone took my things. Like, I'm that type of person.
Somebody stole it.
Someone pickpocketed it. Wrong. Honestly, I hope I'm out here cursing on you and plotting on you. But
I hope they get an ear infection.
Infection. Well, like, because it's been in my air, bro. The real question is, did I rinse my air? That's not my question. No, joking. But what made it worse was, like, I'm the type of person, I don't lose things. So when I lose things, I bug out because it's like, I'm not that person. Yeah, like, so
it's not within your character.
It's not within my character. But it's just the fact that someone took it. So I'm like, you went out of your way to plot against me. Someone that you don't even know. And I know this day specifically, so. But yes, since then, I've been a wired babe. I've been telling myself, mentally, I'm the type of person, if I lose something, I'll buy a new thing. But I was really training myself and I said, Yaz, I don't care, someone stole it, you lost it, you're not getting it. Like, I'm really a mum to myself. So I've been rocking wired headphones and I just really want to make wired headphones a thing. Like,
it is. Like, now it's seen as like a Y2K
thing. Y2K thing right now. But since some of my girls, just because they got AirPods, they really come for me and I will rip them. I'm that type of person, come for me and I'm coming for Hoyeda, Abaha, Awoga, Aptiriska, or Wakista, you know? But I just feel like wired headphones need to be a thing. Like, I hate this little hierarchy because I've been that girl where I've had both. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest with you, wired headphones will never fail you.
I think now is the time to make a comeback because I'm seeing all the girlies on TikTok wear it.
It's a thing.
But now they're doing it for, like, nostalgia.
Yeah, they're not really doing it for the reason. And I feel like, I'm not going to lie to you, wired headphones, they're very impractical. Sometimes I guess it's very annoying when I have to untangle it. But it's there, like, it's, you never have to charge it, you never have to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember when I had my AirPods, like, I always have to be conscious that I have to put it in. Because if I lose one, I'm screwed. Whereas with this one, visibly, I know it's there because I feel it, I can see it. It's very much visible. But I just don't like the bullying culture when it comes to wired headphones. People like, do better, there's a hierarchy. I'm just thinking, first and foremost, do better. Like, I just feel like wired headphones need to be a thing. So that's staying for me in my world. AirPods is not a thing, Beats is not a thing, wired headphones. And I have two goes, so that was one stay, two goes. And I just want to say, guys, I am, first and foremost, I'm against patriarchy. Patriarchy should never exist. And I feel like there needs to be a term where misogyny is like basically you being against women, hating women, despising women, like your whole being, your guts, your, I feel like there needs to be a thing called, not misogyny, but I don't know what you call it, paternity.
I'm William Shakespeare. Like, I'm making my own words.
It's gonna guess. I'm gonna go on the dictionary and I'm gonna.
I love that. Okay, sis. Hey, say your false word. Go on.
I just feel like, honestly, wallahi, like, I'm just gonna be honest with you. Men irk me. Wallahi, like, yeah. I honestly just feel like
Allah.
I know, like, I've reached that point where I hate men. Like, yeah. And I'm maybe projecting the men that I know. Like, I love my siblings. I love my pops, but you don't have purpose.
You know it is, yeah. And like, I don't want to upset anybody, but like, you know how you love your bros and like you've been with them since birth. The way they treat you is just a kind of version of the way they treat girls outside.
Mm.
Like, they still hold those like misogynistic values and like unequal like ideas, but because you're blood, it's like they see you as a kid, like they see you as like a family, so they don't, you can't really put gender on family. Do you understand? But when it comes to like what's it, social roles, like what a man's supposed to do, what a woman's supposed to do, it's intact. Like, they'll come to you and be like, you need to watch this, how you said do this. Like, they'll never fight the patriarchy because they know it works to their advantage.
And that's what pisses me off. Like, I just feel like men in general, like, just the when I was growing up, I always used to think, no, like, you can train men to,
I'm like, trying to, you want to be you,
you will not even fix you, I can train you to be who I want you to be, basically. Like, I'll teach you set of skills, I'll teach you to be compassionate, loving, I'll teach you to be empathetic. I just feel like men, what purpose do they serve? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I know me as a woman.
Breeding.
Honestly, you're a sperm donor. No,
because that's what they literally say about women. They're like you're breeding. Yeah, you're
I feel
for
like
breeding.
Men, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I don't know if I'm being irritated or I'm being picky or like I'm just like, no. I hate men. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's so hard teaching men.
Yeah.
Like teaching a dog new tricks. Like,
yeah.
Not that men are dogs. Actually, you know what? Some of you are.
You're dogs.
Honestly, no. Like, I just feel like, I don't know, like, maybe when I just see men in the street, when I just see, like, men, not in my life specifically, but just men in general, I'm just thinking, like, I lose all hope for, like, mankind.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know what you contribute, because, like, generations back, you used to bring home the butter and the bread. But now,
when they used to go to war and die by women, death for this day.
Honestly, well, like, I just, I'm like, what do you contribute? Right, because, I don't know, like, just the stories I have of women, like, their encounters with men.
You know,
I
know, there's romantic ones. There's romantic ones where, like, you know, what's it? You know, have you guys ever watched Mulan? And then that one scene where all the men are, like, going to war, and they start singing the song, "A Girl Worth Fighting For," and they start talking about, like, their women back home, and, like, the reason why they're out here, you know, fighting this battle is for, to protect their women and children. Bro, that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, it's different.
That's not,
I feel like, Loki, I want to go back to that. Like, I want you to play a role. I want you to have purpose. Because right now, the men that, like, what do you contribute? Like, what do you do? Because right now, everything that you used to do, we do. So,
yeah.
Where do you, like, what's your purpose in life? So,
I want to talk
about
this idea.
Please. Like, I know this is, like, hypothetical. Ooh. Like, I'm not really saying I hate men, like, men are trash, but I'm just saying, like, what is your purpose? Like,
yeah.
And I really want to talk about that. But no, honestly, all men, like, please don't think this is an attack. Because from the bottom of my heart, suck your back, Chris. Because I don't care. You really thought I'd be like, no. Like, I think you should have, like, this existential crisis and think, what is your purpose in life?
Yeah.
And honestly, guys, I know, like, whatever you're doing in life, like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
But, like, bro, deep, what you bring to the table, what you bring to, like, the system, how you can, like, make the world a better place, how you can help get rid of patriarchy and lessen the blow, how you can be there for your sisters, your women, your mothers, because, like, what are you doing? If you're not doing that and advocating for women, you're a waste of space.
Love that. There's been, like, this new trend on TikTok. It's just basically couples, and then, like, couples that are, like, being affectionate and, like, being really nice and thoughtful to each other, and then, like, the comments is them saying, "Oh, that's from Amazon? Where did you get that?
Where did you get that?" I've seen that, sis.
That one. It's like, whenever somebody sees, like, a nice, kind boy, or, like, a guy that's, like, worships his girlfriend or whatever, everybody's like, there's none of them. Like, where are you finding these nice ones? Anyways, that's a joke. So the next one is, the world population is all expected to take the Myers-Briggs test.
What's that?
The Myers-Briggs test.
What's that?
You've taken it, the 16 personalities.
Oh, okay, that's the actual terminology.
Everybody needs to take this Myers-Briggs test. It's like, you know how you were saying, it's like, what do you bring to the table? Like, how are you going to further, you know, our social standings or whatever? If you take this test, so basically not only is the test going to determine, like, what type of personality you have, but also determines, like, what occupation you're going to get. Because, like, you know how, like, with mediators, we come from, like, the... not even mediator, sorry,
diplomats.
Like, yeah, we come from the diplomat branch, so we're really good with talking to people, we're good at bringing ideas and stuff like that, and yeah, like, everybody needs to take this Myers-Briggs test personality, so they understand, like, okay, I'm good at this, and I need to work on this. And it says that, like, I'm a good analytical person. So, like, let me get into these analytical roles. And, like, I'm good at critical analysis, or, like, I'm really good at, I'm not good at talking to people with, like, with this and this. So, yeah, it will just help everybody out. Like, that's a good thing, isn't it?
I think that's amazing. Honestly, 100% do that. You know, I recently took the test again.
Yeah.
And sis, I'm a protagonist. I remember when I first did, I was an ambassador.
Yeah.
I was advocate or ambassador, one of that.
Ooh.
And then I did it for the second time, and then I was adventurer. And I feel like adventurers are crackheads.
Yeah.
And then now I did the test, and I'm a protagonist.
Is adventurer the yellow one?
Yeah. Oh, I was, so I was the green, and then I was yellow, and then I'm green again.
I need to take it. It's been more
than... Do it, like, for 6 months.
Yeah. It's been more
Because the questions are very, like, generic, but, like, your answers and, like, where you fall.
And if you haven't taken the Myers-Briggs test,
like,
go do it now.
Honestly,
and
I feel like,
do your family, do your mum, do your dad, and it will explain to you everything, like, the reason why...
You are.
Like, who you are and what they do.
And your nature. And also, if you really want to do that, re-listen to the second episode of season 2, because I link all of that down below.
Oh, look at you.
Plugging shamelessly.
Okay, guys, that is it for this segment. And yeah, just tune in for the next.
Hi, guys. And this finally brings us to our final segment, actually, our outro. Honestly, guys, this was an amazing chit chat. I know this was supposed to be published or released October. So this is going to be like about a week or two late. But we really hope that you enjoyed that. It was like a nice chit chat catch-up session. I know it's going to be like an hour plus, but yeah, guys, I really just hope that you guys have been doing good.
Yeah, and we kept it lighthearted on purpose. Obviously, we introduced like fun new games. And yeah, guys, if you have any thoughts on my dictatorship and the way I rule it, go see yourself out. Unless you agree with me. No, I'm joking. Like, guys, message us, hit us up, let us know how we did, if you have any thoughts. And yeah, like, inshallah, stay tuned. We're more active on our Instagram, so follow us there, and TikTok as well. Like, we've been making new videos, so follow us on that as well.
And as Honey said, like, just interact with us if you really like this episode. If you let us know your thoughts and your views and your ideas, even if you don't agree with us. Also, like, let us know, like, how we can improve. So I want constructive criticism. I don't want no shade. I don't want no type of bad vibes. Tell us how we can do better, and hopefully we'll take that on board. But as Honey said, like, we're more active on Instagram. Like, we post our monthly magazines, and we post like on our stories, but we also post on our TikTok. So I think if you're really trying to find us, because
TikTok,
it's really hard to sit and make content, because it's not even just the fact that, like, I mean, alhamdulillah, me and Honey, we can brainstorm, we have like a lot of things that we can think of and we want to do, but it's just so hard to like put that in practice, to actually sit down, bring the equipment, take the time out. Money goes into this, I'm not gonna lie to you.
It really does.
It does. And the fact that we're doing this, we're doing it because we love it. We're doing it because it's a hobby. We love expressing ourselves, and we do it because of you as well. Like, we just love our friends and our family and all these random people, not random, strangers who've actually like become our subscribers.
Yeah, and taking the time to like listen.
Yeah, and also interact as well. So I think, yeah, it's just, yeah, just be patient with us. But if you want to know what we're doing, just keep up with our socials.
And that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and take care.